and for all the passing of the peace that didn't get passed. We'll see you on the patio after. Ooh, it'll be nice and warm with the heaters. And I was just checking our Facebook live stream, and we missed a prayer request. I want to pray for Karen Pittenger. I said it.
Yes, that's what you said.
That's what I said. Okay. We're praying for her sister who has a tumor on her brain, and Karen's mom who's healing with Parkinson's disease. So for Karen, we're praying for you, your sister, your mom, your whole family, holding you close in our hearts. Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Jesus appears to the disciples. It was the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas and the disciples. Verse 24, Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. Amen.
This morning I want to start with a disclaimer, especially as we this church are interfaithy. We have many mixed marriages. Hopefully we also can be good ambassadors to Christianity. People in their naivety, in their not smartness, have misconstrued the Gospels to have them become anti-Semitic. And John gets misunderstood a lot for being anti-Semitic. And so you'll notice we don't say, although the Greek does say Jews, but it's in context of everybody is Jewish in these stories. Jesus is Jewish, the disciples are Jewish, everybody is Jewish. That's why we correct it and say Jewish authorities to make it clear it is a certain particular political movement. So hopefully you've noticed that, and that's why we are now using the Common English Bible, because it's much more nuanced about that. And then I want to share with you from biblical scholar Mary Luti a little bit more about the Jews in the gospel. As Christians, we live under the burden of a sad and violent history of anti-Semitism in the sobering shadow of the Shoah, or the Holocaust. It is critical for us to be clear about what our sacred texts mean when they make reference to the Jews, especially Holy Week, when we have contemplated Jesus' death. When the crucifixion narratives speak of the chief priests and leaders of the people, they are referring to officials who collaborated closely with the Roman systems of oppression and were viewed with contempt by much of the Jewish community in their time. They should not be identified with Jewish people of the past as a whole, and certainly not with Jews in the present. It may be helpful to recall cultural context of our Christian scriptures, emerging as they did from a small, originally Jewish community of believers in Jesus as the Messiah. All of the Gospels originated from Jewish communities. Jesus himself was born, lived, and was crucified as a Jew. Any criticism of Jews from Gospel writers should be understood as an expression of differences of opinion among their community of Jews. The Gospels use the term the Jews, therefore, should not be read as a criticism of the Jewish religion, and especially not a condemnation of an entire people, either then or now. It is one of the bitter ironies of history that our sacred texts have been used to justify the persecution of the covenant people, from whom our Savior came and who are created as we all are in the precious image of God. I read that this morning because one of my many meetings that I was at this week was, did you know there is an interfaith advisory council that is sponsored by the sheriff? I have never lived in such a place. And so I was at that advisory meeting, and we heard from our friends with the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and he said, Holy Week is the week at which we, as a Jewish people, experience more hate crime than usual. And since 2017, the crimes have gone up exponentially, like 47%. So I just felt like we needed to take a moment and continue being interfaithy, but continue to be ambassadors to our Christian brothers, sisters, and siblings, that we may hear some condemnation. You now know, you now can speak up and correct. And I don't know why I'm having such a problem today, but. I'm not touching. Okay, I'm gonna try to not talk with my hands. Okay, we'll see how that goes. Okay, let's dive into the text. Let's dive. You know what? Turn me off. Okay, there we go. All right, now, here we go. We're entering the text, the Gospel of John, and we're still in fear. It's that evening, right? The opening says we're still in fear. They're still being got after by the empire, by the Jewish authorities, and they're in, yet again, a dark room. They're having a meal. In comes Jesus. And there's one who doesn't believe. Thomas. And we love Thomas because Thomas asks those questions. Thomas wants clarity. Thomas wasn't there before. Remember last week when Jesus appeared to Mary, and then Mary and went and told the disciples? Thomas wasn't there. And remember, what did Jesus say to Mary last week? He said, I'm going, right? I'm out of here. So again, a great twist when we start reading these texts as they're meant to be written, one after the other, is Mary said, hey, Jesus is going. He's out of here. It's all up to us now. That's the last message Thomas heard. So he believes Mary. Why would he doubt Mary? Gosh, we love that guy, right? He listened to the first evangelical, who was a woman, right, who told the good news. So now here's all the rest of the gang. They're like, no, this is Jesus. He's with us. And Thomas is like, no. I evidently missed the last meeting. And so we've got that. So we have that moment. And I just love that moment. Now here's another moment where this gardener, whoever, right, comes in. He says, peace be with you. This is why we do this in church every day. But let me tell you even why it's even more important and more radical that we do this. Remember I said they're still scared? They're still fearful? It's because there's violence going on all outside. Nobody knows who's who.
Nobody knows. Are you a collaborator with Rome? Are you one of this new band? Are you this new crowd? Are you part of this this new crowd, this new religion? So the code was, peace be with you. What? Yes, it's a code. It's a code to say, I am safe. I am not going to war upon you. So to continue with the interfaithy theme, this week I've done, I got to go to two iftar dinners. And the second one that we were at, one of the Christians asked one of the Muslims, now what is that greeting that you say to each other all the time? And this happened to be Turkish Muslims, so they were talking amongst themselves for a minute, and I was like, oh, I can't wait till we get back to English, because I can say something to this. And so they were doing the grammar, and they said, yes, it means like no war. It means peace. And I said, yes, peace upon you. And they're like, yes, yes, that's the word. And then I said, you know, we Christians have that too. And in fact, it comes from the text I'm going to be preaching on this week, which again means peace be with you. It's the same thing. It's this greeting that says we are people of the book and we are safe and we do not bring war, but we bring peace in the name of the one. Don't you love interfaith stuff? Yeah. And so when I was explaining it back to the Christian, the Muslims were lighting up like, yes, yes, yes. And now we have all left that table as friends. So remember every time you say, peace be upon you. And Jesus is sending them out again. Remember, this is a nonviolent movement in a very violent time. He's sending them out once again. You now go forth with my knowledge, with your peace, and may there be justice and love. So that's just that bit. So now we're talking, we're gathering, and Jesus is like, he doesn't get mad at Thomas at all, does he? No. He says, okay, you want to touch? Let's touch. You want to feel? Let's feel. I'm here. I'm not intimidated. This, everyone, is your example in the Gospels that says, please engage with me. This is God saying, please engage with me. Don't let a pastor tell you the meaning of the scripture and not question. Jesus is like, I'm not afraid. Come on, let's engage. And so they do. And again, it's over a meal. I cannot say enough how much sacred time is over a meal. It's over a meal where everybody's recognized. So we have Jesus saying, Thomas, I'm here. Do you believe? And Thomas does, because of the engagement. Going to have a little moment again about technology. You know, I can't really get away anymore without talking about technology and my disdain for it. How many of you have those screens in your cars, right? That you know, tell you where to go and how you're getting there. So I was with a friend a while doing this, and we're in traffic. And it's very obvious that we're in traffic because, hello, there's the traffic. But he is going like this, looking at the screen, and I'm like, slow down, you want to know there's traffic? There's traffic, it's right there. You're going to hit the car in front of us. Do you believe? This is Jesus saying, look, I'm here, believe. Then there's others, he says, and then happy are those who believe without seeing me. Friends, that's not a diss to Thomas or a diss to us. It is, again, now I'm leaving. It is about us. We will never get to see Jesus' side or see his wounds, but we believe, do we not? So it's a foreshadowing. Again, these texts are so wise, talking about those who will yet be in the community of Christ, those who will yet be asked to study the texts. So much richness. Do not be afraid to engage. Jesus can take it. Do not be afraid to question. Jesus can take it. Do not be afraid to argue. Jesus can take it. So, let us continue to be an Easter people. Let us continue to be ambassadors to our Christian siblings and remind them really how radical and wonderful and man of peace Jesus is, was, and teaches. And let us then be able to sit at interfaith tables and celebrate whose we are and who we are together in all our many forms, our many ways of description, and our many ways of love. There are many paths to the one, and they're glorious, beautiful, and creative, just like we are. So let's be happy believers and continue on this Easter journey together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.